A guy who's experienced it all, the great Joe Beningo in his Monday call-in. And, of course, it's brought to you by Approved Oil. Visit FreezeTheRate.com, H.L. Gross Jewelers of Garden City, Total Orthopedics, the experts at getting you back to being you, and by Audi Manhattan, where luxury meets excellence. I mean, bro, I don't know if there are words, but give us some on the garbage that we witnessed yesterday
morning.
Well,
let me say this, bro. Okay, now I'm watching. I've been a fan of this team for 60 years. I've seen every terrible coach we've ever had, you know. From Charlie Winner to Lou Holtz. So we go right on down the line. You know, Richie Kotite, Joe Walton, Richie Kotite, Bruce Coslett, you know, Gaze, Salah. I mean, we go on and on. Bowles, who's really stepped in it in Tampa, but we don't want to get into that. Okay? He's got an elite quarterback and all of that. But whatever. This was the worst coached Jet football game I have ever seen. I mean, the ineptitude by this coach, of course, this game was totally on Aaron Glenn. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Totally on Aaron Glenn. How he did not go to Tyrod Taylor in this football game is just beyond me. I don't get it. How could you? This guy. It was at the point yesterday where Justin Fields was afraid to throw the ball. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he got sacked 9 times in this game. I would say at least 6 of them were on him. And he just was afraid to throw the football. And when he did, he's throwing the ball behind Garrett Wilson. That play on the last drive, if he puts it where it needs to be, it's a first down. I don't know what to say. I mean, the ineptitude was unbelievable. What he did at the end of the first half, you got to be kidding me. I mean, are we trying to win the game? I mean, you're more concerned about making sure that we go to halftime only down 4 points? Because that basically was what it was. I don't want to make any more mistakes. I want to go into the half only down 4. We're getting the ball to start the second half. I mean, it was unbelievable. And how about this, too, bro? How about this, too? Okay, and let me just say that, going back to that at the end of the half. This is after you do a fake punt, get the first down, right?
Mm.
What are you doing? Why did you fake punt there? Mm. I mean, unbelievable. But how about the drive in the fourth quarter? I think it was 13-11 at this point. I don't know how much time was left. Where Fields runs, looks like he got the first down. It was very close. Okay, I thought he did. I thought Glenn should have challenged the spot there. He calls timeout, doesn't challenge the spot, should have went for it on 4th and 1. I don't care if they're on their own 10-yard line at that point in the game. Right? 4th and 1, you're 0-5, on your way to 0-6. Go for the first down. What are you doing? Any punts?
He wasted a timeout.
Oh my God.
By thinking about it and then punts it away in the fourth quarter, where all these timeouts are going to be incredibly valuable.
Right. What they have done, and they actually did say this on the broadcast, if you're going to call the timeout, just challenge it.
Absolutely.
Because it cost you the timeout anyway.
100%.
Right. And it was close.
It probably was still going to be 4th down, but whatever. Right. At least you would have been not wasting a timeout to then just punt the football away. Joe, so much of this is on the coaching, obviously, but a lot of it is on the players, too. We've been talking a lot this season, really starting last season, about Olufashinu and how good he is. Mm-hmm. Now, the Denver Broncos have... now they have, because of the 9 sacks in this game, the best pass rusher in the NFL. It's not even a question. All 3 or 4 of those guys are get after the quarterback. But some of this yesterday was also on the players. You know, that pass you were talking about out to the flat, to Garrett Wilson, not the flat, it was about 8-10 yards upfield. He slides, right? He slips. Justin Fields on the play you were just talking about, he slipped. Instead of, you know, guaranteeing the first down, he slipped and fell short. Olufashinu got beat a couple of times. Armon Mimbu, he got beat. Now, he's young. He's a rookie. I guess you can forgive that. But so much of this also was on the players not making the plays.
Yeah, well, the offensive line has blocked pretty well for the running game. Their pass blocking has not been good all year.
Yeah.
I mean, that has not been good the entire year. But you know what else got me in this game, guys, too? Look, Denver was ripe for the taking. You could see that the Broncos, and I expected them to come in flat. They beat the Eagles the week before, a real big win. You're out in London. You're playing a terrible opponent, you know. And, you know, they probably looked at this game like they were playing, I don't know, Rutgers. I mean, really, seriously.
Good example.
That's kind of how they looked at it. They played terrible. They gave the Jets every opportunity to win. Even the officials, let's be honest about this. I thought the officials, for the first time all year, were giving the Jets the benefit of the doubt. They only had 2 penalties in the game. Of course, one of them on Tippmann on that first drive after they recovered the fumble, you know, was a that false start was a killer.
Killer.
really killed that drive. But they only had two penalties all day. One was on a kickoff. Even the one where Wilson, I got to be honest, I thought he fumbled. And they said no fumble. They said right. It was an incomplete pass. I thought we got a break on that too. So, you know, I mean, they give us a safety in the end zone on a holding penalty in the end zone. All of these things that went down, and they still couldn't win the game. And I'm sorry, and I agree about the players, Teak.
Yeah.
But come on, if nothing else, you have to go to Tyrod Taylor in that.
Well, and you know what, Joe? Mm-hmm. Marry the two things you said because they're connected, and it proves that Aaron Glenn has no idea what he's doing. If you have so little confidence in your offense that you're running that garbage at the end of the first half, that's a sign you don't believe in the quarterback. So take him out.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
And he basically said, I don't trust you.
Right. So if you feel that way, because I was thinking, and I'm curious when in the game you wanted to do this to me. Ironically
second
enough, it was.
Quarter.
Oh, you were
before
earlier than me.
Halftime.
Okay.
Before halftime, I wanted him out of the game. You could see it already, what was going on.
You're right. Know? It was the second half, the first drive of the second half, when it stalled on the Denver 22. That was my moment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? This is a freaking winnable game. Get this guy out, because if you want to win the game, Tyrod Taylor gives you a better shot. After the game, he basically lambasts Costello for even asking the question.
Yep, yeah. This is another problem. Look, Glenn thinks he's Bill Parcells, okay? Let's be real. He does. He's got an attitude like he's Bill Parcells, and he's never won a game as a head coach in the NFL. He's 0-6. You can't have that attitude. You know, Parcells could have it. Belichick could have it. Guys that got cachet as head coaches can have that. You can't have that. I mean, let's be honest about it. And that's another thing with this guy. And I tell you, bro, look, the other two guys who started out 0-6 were Gaze and Kotite. Now, both of those were in their second year, not their first year.
Yep.
But you telling me this guy's the coach next year?
He's on his way to being one and done. Mm. He's on his way.
There's no question about it. I mean, where are we winning games? All of a sudden, the Panthers are a pretty good team. They beat the Cowboys at 3-3. The Bengals are going to be a better team with Joe Flacco. He actually kept them in a game with the Packers yesterday. You know, they're going to be a better team with him, you know, at quarterback. Where are the wins coming from? Look what the Patriots are now. Are you going to beat the crummy Dolphins at home? I mean, you tell me, can they beat the Saints in New Orleans? Mm. Where are the wins
coming
from?
I would have said before it would have been Carolina, but Carolina's looked good the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. You know, they got a young quarterback that's developing now a little bit. They had a nice win over the Cowboys yesterday. You know, they're a 500 team.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm beside myself. I'm so disgusted. I was so upset yesterday watching that game. I mean, I had to get out of the house for a while. And then I made the mistake of putting on the post-game show, which is a disaster. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. These guys, I mean, they didn't say a word about the coach in this game. Buttle and what's his name? Dan Grasa. Oh, my God. I mean, it's unlistenable.
Look,
it really is.
I like Aaron Glenn. You like Aaron Glenn. This can't continue. If this continues, he's going to be one and done. As crazy as that is.
As a player. You know, he was a terrific Jet. He really was. You know, probably the second best corner we've had beside Darrell Revis. You know, Sauce isn't there yet. I mean, yeah, he was okay yesterday, but whatever. You know, and he's just killing his legacy as a player. He's killing it.
No doubt.
I mean, you know, where are we going here? And Tyrod Taylor should be playing. He's better. If we want to win games, Tyrod Taylor should be the quarterback.
I have an idea. Now, Tiki says it's not realistic because the other team won't make the deal, which he may be right about. So I do caveat that.
We're making a trade.
I have a trade idea. Yes. And I know you're going to like it.
Speculating on a trade.
I already know you, bro. You're going to say, sign me up.
Go ahead.
Call up the Browns. What are they doing with Shedeur Sanders? Bring him in.
Done. 100%. I will make that trade in a nanosecond for Shedeur Sanders. This is a guy with he's got like a block of granite on his shoulder, this guy.
Mm.
Okay? You talk about somebody with something to prove? Oh, my God. I would take Shedeur Sanders in a second.
Yeah, the problem is getting him. How to get him is the challenge. Because I don't think Cleveland wants to get rid of him. They have no idea what they have in Dylan Gabriel, but it is not a franchise quarterback. That is for sure.
Right.
And Shedeur Sanders is a first-round talent who they basically stole and are paying absolutely nothing right now. So why would you give him up? You know what I mean? Unless the Jets overpay for it, which is, I don't know what that means, but I feel like the only way that you're getting him is if you overpay for him.
There isn't much I wouldn't give up for him. I tell you right now, outside of Garrett Wilson, okay, I wouldn't trade Garrett Wilson, and I had no issue with Garrett Wilson getting in Glenn's face at halftime. I'm sorry, I had no problem with it. What the hell are you doing? Anyway, I wouldn't trade Garrett Wilson. I would probably keep the two young tackles only because they're young, even though they've had their problems, like you pointed out. Probably would. I think anybody else is fair game. I got to tell you.
Trade them Sauce?
Maybe.
You trade them Sauce, you make their defense great. Turd. I mean, their defense is good. It's their offense.
They got a good defense. They do.
The problem is this administration, and you said it at the time. I was with you on this. Hey, if Shador is there, they should select him.
Of course.
They never did.
And they had multiple
opportunities. And they didn't do it in the second round, the third. Like, they missed so many opportunities because.
They had him in the fifth round.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Because they believed in Justin Fields, which we all knew was a lottery ticket. We knew the odds were unlikely this was going to work.
Only one person believed in him, and that's this head coach. And here's the other thing, too. What they don't use him. Where are the? We talked about this last week.
Right.
Where are the RPOs?
None.
This guy should be running 5 to 10 plays a game. Should be design runs for Fields.
Right.
Where are they?
Well, they're not there. They don't do zone reads. They don't do the run pass options.
Right. Right.
They don't. I mean, unless he's scrambling. I mean, I'm gonna have to go back and look, Joe. But I'm trying to think how many called.
Dude, it was a handful. It was like 3 or 4. It was not enough.
If that meant.
Right. Enough.
Right.
And how about screen passes for Breece Hall? First time in his career, wasn't targeted.
They didn't even throw him a pass.
Yeah.
I mean, you got this pass rush that's killing you. I mean, geez, can you maybe throw a screen pass? Maybe offset the pass rush with a screen pass to a terrific receiver out of the backfield? I mean, it really is. I mean, the coaching is a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying about the players.
Right. No, it is. It absolutely is. Because Inkstran he's not utilizing his players to the best of their abilities. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. And you got a solid game out of the defense.
Right.
You even got a big game out of the special teams.
Oh, yeah.
You get a big kick return.
Yep.
You get the punt that sets up the
safety. Yeah, you had a couple big kick returns, right?
Right.
One out to the 40, one out to the, positive, field position. So, it was great. You just couldn't capitalize on it.
All day they had field position.
And it felt like at the end, really, second half, middle of the third quarter on, Sean Payton was just like, all right, you guys got to beat us.
Right. Yeah, Sean Payton called a very conservative game. Let's be honest.
Right.
I mean, he knew that, hey, look, this team can't move the football. So, I'm just going to play it safe, and we'll wind up winning the game at the end. Even Payton said something about the halftime. Didn't I see Payton kind of comment that he couldn't understand what Glenn was doing at halftime?
Yeah. I mean, because it's incomprehensible. And the only thing that Aaron gave up on is he did admit this morning he should have run a Hail Mary on the fourth down play. Right. That's at the bare minimum, though.
I mean, the more I think about it, okay, now at the time I'm saying to myself on that 4th and 8, there's no way that Nick Folk can make a field goal here. That's what I was thinking. And the more I think about it, maybe it was worth it taking a shot at a 62-yarder.
So that's the thing. And Tiki and I were debating this an hour ago. To me, they had no shot of converting on 4th and 8. No shot was Justin Fields.
Right.
Nick Folk making a 62-yard field goal, I would say it was like a 30% chance of happening.
Okay. Yes.
That is still a greater percentage than the idea they're converting on 4th and 8. So I thought that was another screw up. But in the moment, you were thinking, go for it?
I was, because I didn't think that he was going to get it. But, I mean, come on. Can he throw the ball? He didn't even throw the ball. You got to just throw the ball up. If you're nothing else, you got to get rid of the ball and put it up there. And who knows? Maybe something good happens. I don't know. You know?
Or you got a pass interference. You never know.
You don't know. You absolutely don't know.
Yeah.
But this guy, Fields, is not any good. I mean, and here's the other thing that concerns me, too, now. Do I want these guys? We're going to have top 3 pick, maybe the number 1 pick in the draft. Do I want these guys making that decision for my future quarterback? Do I want that?
It's hard to judge that right now, Joe, because it's only been one offseason.
6 games.
Right,
six games.
One offseason and 6 games. So it's impossible to know, one, how they're going to draft. And how do they develop people? Forget the quarterback, but just anybody.
Right.
We don't know yet.
Right.
And so that's why one and dones are difficult to justify, because you haven't seen anything yet.
The problem is they will set the organization back another half a decade. If they get it wrong.
Yeah, right. I agree with you.
Oh, God. I'll tell you. It's just I don't know where to go. Look, we all wanted a veteran head coach in here before the year started.
Yep.
And we got sold on the fact that it was a former Jet, a real good Jet, solid player for us, who, did some winning, was on probably the best team we've had since the Super Bowl team in 98 with Parcells and all of that. So, all right, he wants the job. So, okay, even though I'm totally against another first-time coordinator, we'll take our shot because of who it is. And boy, is that turning out to be a disaster. He really is.
We're talking.
Man, you got to be different at these press conferences, man. You're not Bill Parcells.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you got to be a little more contrite. You're 0-6. I mean, come on.
You've got to humble it up until you start winning something.
Yep.
We're talking to the great Joe Beningo now. For me, this is not even a question. The worst kind of feeling I have as a Jet fan. This team, okay. This future, where this is the worst moment I've ever had as a Jet fan in terms of looking around and saying, where is this going? In your opinion, is this the worst time in your life of being a New York Jet fan?
You know, boy, I tell you, like I said, 60 years, I think I've hit rock bottom I don't know how many times. I mean, you know, in the 70s, they never even had a winning season in the 70s. When Kotite was here, it was brutal. But we got Bill. I've said this last week.
Right.
It led us to Parcells.
Right.
You know, and we've had some bad years with these coaches of late. We haven't been to the playoffs in 15 years. But where are we now? Who is the guy that's going to save our franchise? Who's the Bill Parcells out there now that's going to come in here and turn this franchise around if it's clear that Muji and Glenn are not the answers? Who is the guy turning the franchise around? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. Who is it? You know, I love Rex. I'd take Rex in a second. The other guy I would take, and they should have hired him, you know, 6 years ago, whatever it was, is McCarthy. Now, he's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
The one guy you would think that has head coaching experience and has resurrected his career a little bit after getting fired is Cliff Kingsbury, who's in Washington.
He's the offensive coordinator.
He's the offensive coordinator down there. No, so we'll see. I mean, he might, depending on how Washington does this year, because we all know what they did a year ago.
Right.
If they are good again this year, he's going to be one of the hottest candidates.
Right.
Because he has experience, right?
He has experience. He coached the Cardinals.
Right.
You know, everybody, every coach in my mind deserves probably a second shot.
Agreed.
I will agree with that.
Agreed. Especially, he did some decent things there. I mean,
right.
Their knucklehead quarterback was rookie of the year. You know what I mean?
So he's a little bit of a knucklehead.
Right. But he did good things down there. And obviously, he did good things with Jaden Daniels, had another rookie of the year. He didn't. Did Jaden Daniels win rookie of the year?
I thought he did.
Yeah, he did.
It had to be him.
So basically, he had two.
Yeah.
Two rookie of the year quarterbacks, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's just incredible that 6 weeks into a rookie head coach's tenure, this is the conversation we're having. Who's going to replace him?
And I got to tell you this too, man. You know me, I'm all over the football. I watch it. I'm watching everybody play. It rips my heart out for me even to sit down and watch a game.
Totally.
Do I really want to sit here and watch this? I got to get away from it. You know what I mean? After watching this,
bro, as the first time, I was the father of the year and the husband of the year yesterday because I said to my family at 12:30, I said, let's go see a movie. And I took them out. I literally, because I was so freaking disgusted by the garbage. I didn't want to watch real football.
Right.
I needed a break from it.
You know, it's funny. I'm getting more watching the college games than I am watching the NFL.
That's interesting.
Is that crazy?
Well, you're scouting. That's what you're doing.
Well, I sat home and watched all these games Saturday. I mean, I watched Alabama, Missouri. I watched Texas, Oklahoma.
That was a good game.
It was, Alabama game?
Yeah, you like that quarterback too, huh?
Ty Simpson. Which one, from Alabama?
Ty Simpson.
Kid's
pretty
good. I don't know if isn't he only a freshman?
Yeah, he's not coming out. It's only his first year playing.
No.
I think he's sophomore or something like that, but he's not.
I watched Texas A&M in Florida. I mean, watching all these games, I'm like, you know. So, I don't know. But I'm just so depressed. I mean, I'm convinced at the fact, and you're still a young dude, bro, Evan, because Evan's a Jet fan, obviously. You know that you will see something before you die. I'm at the point at 72 years old. You know, I saw this Super Bowl. Of course, I was 15, which is just mind-boggling when you say it that way. And they've never even been right.
15.
Right. Think about it, T.
Holy God.
Right. You know, it's one thing to say 57 years. It's another thing to say, well, I was 15. Now I'm 72, and they still haven't been to the Super Bowl. I mean, so I am convinced.
But they were in a couple championship games.
They were great. Big deal. Okay, we've been to four championship games since the end of my lifetime. Lost them all on the road.
Right.
You know?
Here's all you need to know. We had some years in which they were good, and they were competitive, and they were fun, even if they ripped our heart out at the end.
Right.
This is going to be their 10th consecutive losing season.
Amazing.
Losing season. 10th consecutive.
You and I were together for most of the, really, you know, the glory run of Jet football, which was from 1997 through 2010.
That's the glory days.
Right.
You're right.
We made the playoffs a lot of times. How many times did we make the playoffs, right?
A lot,
we went through a couple championship games. We were at least, even the years we didn't make the playoffs, we had winning seasons.
Right.
I mean, we were 9-7 under Al Groh. We were 9-7 with Favre. I mean, you know.
You don't want that to be your ceiling, though. You don't want the ceiling to be, hey, man, we're in the playoffs.
Right. Well,
that sucks.
Right now, I'll take a competitive football team.
That's true.
Because I don't even have that
now.
No,
you're right.
Very true.
Sad state of affairs, man. It's just
yesterday
brutal.
Was about as low as you can get. It really was.
I'm with you. It was bad. Thank you, bro. Always good talking to you,
See
man.
God bless, guys. Be well.
The great Joe Beningo.